Class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj on July 17, 1981 in Ahmedabad, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text 27 and 28.
Jayo Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Everyone should chant when we say that. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Text 27. Dvejana. Dve Januni Sutalanga Vishamurte.
Dve Januni Sutalanga Vishamurte.
Guru Dvayanga Vitalanga Chatalanga Chap.
Guru Dvayanga Vitalanga Chatalanga Chap.
Mohi Talanga Tachaganang Mohi Pate.
Mohi Talanga Tachaganang Mohi Pate.
Nabastalanga Navisaro Grinanti. Translation. The joints of the legs of the universal form are the planetary systems of the name Sutala. In the lower portion of the thighs are the Vitala and the Atala planetary systems. The upper portion of the thighs are Mohitala, and outer space is the depression of his navel. Text 28. Urastalanga Jyotirani Kamasya.
Urastalanga Jyotirani Kamasya.
Diva Maharbhadana Vaidhanosya.
Diva Maharbhadana Vaidhanosya.
Tapo Varatin Viduradi Pumsa.
Tapo Varatin Viduradi Pumsa.
Satyang Tusirshani Sahasra Shishna. Urastalanga Jyotirani Kamasya. His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. Text 28, Chapter 1, Canto 2, Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets, his mouth is the Jana planets, and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system, known as the Satya Loka, is the head of him who has 1,000 heads. Report by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The effulgent luminary planets like the sun and the moon are situated almost in the mid-place of the universe, and as such they are to be known as the chest of the original gigantic form of the Lord. And above the luminary planets, called also the heavenly planets of the universal directorate, demigods, there are the Mahajana Tapas planetary systems, and above all, the Satyaloka planetary system, or the chief directors of the modes of material nature reside, namely Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. This Vishnu is known as the Kshirodaka Sai Vishnu, and he acts as the super soul in every living being. There are innumerable universes floating on the causal ocean, and each of them, the representation of the Virata form of the Lord is there, along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly demigods, Brahmas, Vishnus, and Shivas. And all of them are situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita 10:42. Thus in the purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Isvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Bhagavan Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. So many avatars are there, but they are nothing but the kola, or the ansha, the part, or the part of the part, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Sri Krishna Himself is Swayam Bhagavan. He is the original personality of Godhead. Today we are discussing in the Bhagavatam the Virata Rupa. The Virata Rupa is the universal form, because this whole universe is not separate from Krishna. This whole universe is connected with Krishna. It is part of Krishna. Therefore, everything in this universe is part of His body and His universal form. Simultaneously, however, although this universe is one with Krishna, being His energy, expansion of His own potency, He maintains His independent position. Therefore, there is a simultaneously oneness and a difference. So the difference, of course, is that Krishna, He alone, one, is maintaining not only this universe, but all the universes, unlimited planets, demigods, Shivas, Brahmas, all being maintained by Krishna. Ako bahunam vidadhatu kaman. One, one is maintaining everyone. One person. One person is maintaining everyone else. This is the amazing and transcendental situation of Krishna. Just like Lord Krishna, He is depicted in His different pastimes. Also, other demigods are depicted in their different pastimes. So, one disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a German scholar. He was visiting all over India. When he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he got the faith that he should accept Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur as his spiritual master. And he also had the faith that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked him, that why have you come to the conclusion without studying very extensively the Vedas that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And how have you come to the conclusion that bhakti is the actual, the best path, rather than mystic yoga and other paths? So, this German scholar replied that seeing the different demigods, just like Durga with her trisur, she's jabbing the chest of the Mahishasur, the buffalo demon, you see. And Kartikeya is fighting in the wars. And Lord Shiva is also sometimes fighting as Tripurari. In different aspects we see that all of them are performing so many kinds of work. Lord Shiva is meditating. Brahma is creating. But what? What is Vishnu doing? You see Krishna, rather. That Krishna, he is dancing with Srimati Radharani, playing on a flute, playing with the cows. When I saw this, I could understand he must be the boss. Because the boss, he always has the big desk and no papers. And a subordinate may have the small desk and so many papers. So when he is the boss, naturally he'll be playing on the flute and dancing and enjoying. That's his position. And everyone else will be working. So therefore he must be the supreme. He has no work to do. Then, in regard to why he accepted bhakti, he says that, well, here we're seeing that the devotees, they're also dancing and chanting in ecstasy and engaging in so many activities on the transcendental platform. So we see that the jnanis, they're always engaged in reading and speculating. They are terming themselves as seekers of the truth. So someone who is still seeking, meaning hasn't yet found the truth. Therefore, that obviously is not the topmost. And the mystic yogis who are cultivating mystic powers like flying in the air, making themselves very small, becoming very big, well, these things are the same goals as the materialistic scientists. They invented the rocket for flying into the inner and outer space. They have the microscope for going very small into the atom. They have the telescope for going big to see. And different, maybe that one is able to do it by psychic or mystic power, but never able to do it by yantric power, by mechanical power. But the goal is the same. So they're both the material goal. So how can this be the topmost yoga? So it's obvious that the bhakti yoga is the topmost. So even this simple German scholar, using common sense, he came to the same conclusion that Krishna gave in Gita. Yoginam api sarveshang madhkate nantaratmana srathavad bhajate choma sava yukta tamo mata. The devotee, the bhakti yoga practitioner, bhakti yogi, he is the most intimately connected with me, Krishna said. By constantly engaging in my worship, this is the most intimately connected. Therefore, he's a being most intimately connected. Yoga means what? To connect. Just like in the yoga joke means a relationship or connection. I don't know what they say in Gujarati. But yoga. Yoganu yoga. Same thing. Yoganu yoga. To connect. So yoga means the supreme connection with the supreme person. Now, everyone is connecting with someone, with their brother, with their sister, with their friends, with their wife, with the government people going and making their connection. Sometimes they're connecting with the inspector of income tax, but that is under the table connection. Somehow or another there's so many connections going on. Some are licit, some are illicit. But when we come, what? How to connect with the Supreme Person? You see, that is known as the, you see, Param Yoga. The topmost yoga. That is known as Bhakti Yoga. Because Krishna says, Bhakti Mamami Janati. That except for my devotee, no one can know me. No one can come in connection. Just like, some people, they worship Vishnu. But Vishnu is like the people that wait outside in the garden of the Prime Minister. Every morning, 8 o'clock, she comes out for 15 minutes and walks by and goes back in. You see, that's like the Vishnu Bhakti. They just get, you see, distant darshan. But those who are able to go into the inner quarters and have that discussion for long times and do that personal services, that is like the Krishna Bhaktas, they're able to do so much. But what is the Demigod worship, that is like simply going to the secretary and to the ministers, other ministers, and getting their work done. They don't have any relationship with the prime minister. And the impersonalist, you see, they're of course either like the those who are disbelieving in karma mimamsa, they're just not even going to the ministerial level. They're just going and applying to the local magistrate, BDO, and letting it go through the government. Whenever it comes, it comes. So like this, there's a different level. So even in material life, those who are worshipping demigod, they're more favorably, materially positioned than those who are just working and expecting to get the result. Because just like in Indian government, you don't know when you're going to get that petition back. Because you don't know when the karma is going to come back on you. You may do your work, but you may not get the result for so many births. Or you may get it immediately. But if you have your petition signed by the Prime Minister, then you know everything is successful. If you are directly in touch with Krishna, then your life is perfect. The trouble, of course, is material life. Everyone is trying to connect with this yoga. Simply for their own selfish interest. So naturally, for simply selfish interest, the Krishna doesn't have to take care of those things. He has so many assistants. But when someone has got the highest interest of actually pleasing Krishna, helping the fallen souls to come to Krishna's lotus feet, then Krishna takes some personal interest. Then he takes the personal interest. This bhakti yoga is not meant simply to be selfish, but it is actually meant to be really selfish. That means to know the self is part of the Supreme Self. To know that our self is part of Krishna. And therefore to serve the whole, serve Krishna. And be ourselves benefited, ultimately, perfectly. So generally people, they're all very physically selfish. They want their body to be very happy. Then sometimes they want their family to be happy. They're considered to be more noble. Man will sacrifice himself for his family, considered to be somewhat noble. Then a person only willing to sacrifice for his own center of his body. Then he wants to sacrifice for his community, social worker, community worker. Then for the state social worker. Then for the nation, a patriot. Then for the whole humanity, a humanitarian. But when one comes to the vision that everything is connected with Krishna and wants to work for the satisfaction of Krishna, that is transcendental, that is off the bodily platform. So this is the defect in modern society. We saw yesterday one poem in Bombay in a lawyer's office. So what if God went on strike? That everybody is going on strike because they're not giving a fair deal. But who's giving God a fair deal? Who's worshipping God? Who's giving anything to Him? Any appreciation? What if He went on strike? Where would there go the sun? Then if there's no sun, then everything finishes. If He just takes the moon off, then all the vegetables are finished. The seas will, no tides, no this, no one. He just gave a description that if Krishna, if He starts taking away the light, the air, the water, then what's there? Nothing. He's providing everything, whether we are good citizens or whether we're bad citizens, somehow or another He's providing. But what we are doing, we're so selfish. What are we doing for Krishna in this world? What are the people doing? That is the main defect. That everyone is taking everything for granted. Oh, we have all these things. Are we so blind we can't see that everything is happening with a cause? Nothing is causeless. So this whole universe also has a cause. Mata aparatam nanyat kinchit asti dhananjaya. And there's no higher cause than Krishna. That means he is the ultimate cause. So therefore, we should understand we also have a debt to Krishna. We have an obligation to Krishna. But the thing is that everyone else that we give our debt to, they're taking. But when we give our debt to Krishna, he is giving back unlimitedly. And what to speak, that Krishna, even one may be giving, but due to some defect, there may be a little offense, then that may be not considered fully as favorably as one would expect or like. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here is Krishna coming in form where he doesn't even consider. Just like the mother. Mother doesn't even consider if the baby passes stool on the lap. Still he loves the baby. Still she loves the baby. She doesn't consider. But when the baby grows up, then naturally if a 14, 15-year-old child comes and sits on the lap and makes a mess, that won't be considered to be very appropriate. Naturally, once one grows up, one becomes responsible. But somehow Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's taking that. Well, the fallen people of Kali Yuga are so fallen that you can't put anything past them as far as making messes. Still I will deliver them. Everyone. Even the Mayavadis like we read last night. Even the students, the Paruvas, the Nindakas, the offenders, everyone, somehow or another I'll get them delivered, simply if they chant Hare Krishna. Of course, once we also become a responsible devotee of Lord Chaitanya, then we shouldn't think, well, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. And therefore now we can, even though we know better, we can still make our mess. No, we shouldn't be so inconsiderate. We should have some consideration. But in sincerely, if we make some mistake, we shouldn't think that just by some mishap we make some mistake that now we can't go on performing our devotional service. No! Lord Chaitanya has got unlimited mercy, unlimited forgiveness. So long as we actually try. If we become a hypocrite, that's different, of course. At some point he has his limit. He will no longer accept hypocrisy. But sincerely, if we even the slightest bit try, but we make some mistake or we're very weak, that's not a big disqualification in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Because he's so kind. Of course, and if one is a little bit pure, or one is specially favored, then unlimited mercy is given, just like, of course, for the very most favored, just like Srinivasa Acharya, who is, of course, Nitya Parsha, the great devotee, eternal associate in the line. He used to do meditation when he was in Vrindavana of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And every day he would make a garland in his mind, and he'd offer the garlands to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he would participate in the, he would pay his obeisances to Lord Chaitanya, who was in Sankirtan. And he was always desiring that, how fortunate I would be if I would be able to participate or to even see the Sankirtan movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this way he was doing a mental manasa dhyana, a mental meditation. So, one day he was so completely absorbed in his meditation that he had prepared the garland, he was offering the garland, so he offered the garland to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his meditation, suddenly the meditation became very distinct, even more so than usual. And Lord Chaitanya, he motioned to one associate, gave another garland off. And Lord Chaitanya's garlands The Lord Chaitanya's golden color with his hair up in a Brahminical style, but long and then tied up on the top, and his eyes going just like lotus petals back almost to his ears, just to his ears. Beautiful. And his forehead decorated with the tila, and his arms going down to his knees, his chest broad like a door, and his waist thin just like a lion. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his garland. There's so many bumblebees flying around trying to get the nectar from his garland. He's surrounded by bees. Just like when you go Jagannath Puri, you see all the sweet shops of Mahaprasad. There's so many bees flying around, they put mosquito net over. They want to get the nectar. So like that, all these bees are flying around Lord Chaitanya's garland to get the nectar. So Lord Chaitanya got one of these transcendental garlands and gave it to his associate, put on Srinivasacharya. He just motioned. So Srinivasacharya, this associate, he came and he garlanded Srinivasacharya. As soon as the garland touched Srinivas, he woke up and his meditation was, and he was completely immersed, shaking in ecstasy. And he looked, and there on his body, even out of his meditation, there was the garland. And all around him, the bumblebees suddenly, they were all surrounding him, going to get the nectar from that garland. And then he was sitting there in Vrindavana, and he was thinking, all I do now, what if somebody comes and sees me with this garland? Because anyone that garland could see that this was no ordinary garland. So he suddenly became very humbled and embarrassed that what happens if someone sees me with the garland? How will I ever explain? Because this is an eternal garland, the garland will never... You see, like this garland is falling apart. Those garlands don't wilt. Of course, because I'm so fallen, so it touches. If it touches Lord Chaitanya, it becomes eternal. So, suddenly in his anxiety, the garland disappeared. He paid his obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Lord Chaitanya, he may give his mercy at any moment. What we have to do is cultivate, just like those bumblebees, that intense desire to taste that nectar. How do we taste it? By serving, keeping our mind always in the service, in the chanting. You see, just like when we drink water, there should be the flow from the cup to the mouth should be unbroken. Apritiyata ahituki. If we desire to serve for any other reason, to serve for fame, for prestige, for sense gratification, then to enjoy those things, we have to break our service. And that also colors the service. So it has to be causeless. That means to please Krishna, simply for bhakti's sake, devotion for devotion's sake, devotion for Krishna's sake. And that has to be unbroken. And that unbroken connection, Yoganu Yoga with Krishna, that is that nectar, hunger that we develop. And then just like the bumblebees are always anxious for that nectar, then as we start to taste the nectar, then as their appetite, just like the bumblebees are always hungry for nectar, but when they can smell the nectar, they become wild, flying around. And when they can taste it, they become intoxicated. So this is the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately, if anyone chants, at least they can get the smell of the nectar. And if they're very fortunate, they can get even a drop. And the more that they taste the nectar, the more they become mad for devotional service. So this is the secret, that we should become, you see, Bambhuvi is simply tasting the nectar at the lotus feet of Nitai Gaur. And the nectar is there through his devotional service. That's why, of course, we worship Srila Prabhupada, because he's at the lotus feet of Krishna, of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, he's got that nectar. The Guru is called as Vishnupad, called because there he's at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, the representative of Vishnu. Vishnu's lotus feet. There, he has got the nectar. So in this way, we try to get the nectar. And this hunger, this appetite goes on increasing. But if we allow ourselves to be distracted, naturally then, that pure appetite doesn't come. And if we try to enjoy both the nectar and the garbage of this material world, we get indigestion. So naturally, then we get indigestion, we get sick, we fall in Maya. So we should simply protect ourselves from this illusion, from this Maya, fix ourselves in this hunger for tasting the nectar. And as we get the drops of nectar, then it is like an ocean of happiness. An ocean of happiness. Naam bina kichu nahi kawar chotu bhuvana maje, there's nothing but these 14 names in the whole universe. These 16 names in the whole 14 world. The whole universe. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I don't think there's time for questions. The phone works?
Yeah. 74. The difference between I work with purpose and I work with desire.
Which type of work?
Kind of some good work. If I do some service, there's some devices, some purpose, or if I do some service for the Lord, there must be some desire. What's the difference with that? Because there's
some
material service, there's
some
desire.
Oh, for every action, there's a reaction.
Yes.
Right? It's like you send off a letter. So it depends on what your destination is. If you write the letter to Delhi, it is not going to go to America. You have to put the postage on. If you want to send it to America, you have to put 1 rupee and 60 paisa for every 10 gram. You want to send it to Delhi, you only have to put 25 paisa. Right? So like that, material work, you're sending it, it's going inland. It doesn't go outside inland. You want to send it to Krishna, you see, that goes outside this material boundary. So one has to address the work accordingly. If there's no address, that means that what? That means it's a tamagun. That means if you send a letter with no address, where is it going? That means you're wasting your time. So, of course, there's some reaction for that. But that reaction is also just simply creating more difficulty, useless reactions. So, when there's no fixed reaction, when it's simply ignorance and foolishness, that's like you see, like the letter no address, then one has got the fixed idea. That's a passion. And one has actually a good purpose to help others. You see, that's goodness. But when one is actually directing it outside of the universe, to the supreme destination, that's transcendental. So accordingly to where we want to address or send our energy, that is from where we'll get our result, our mercy. And within this universe, within this material sphere, we're getting material results. Which means birth, death, old age, disease. And when we direct it to Krishna, then we get our spiritual result. Then we get eternal result. Yes?
When chanting Japa, Ram or Rama?
Rama. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other questions?
So
if you believe Krishna, then you should follow what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. He says, whatever you offer, whatever austerity you do, whatever you eat, everything should be done as an offering to me. Huh? That, so how you are helping Krishna. So if you believe in Krishna, you are giving your love, you are giving your affection, you are giving your money somewhere. So if you actually love Krishna, then why you're not giving to Krishna? If you tell your wife, I love you, I have everything for you, but then you go out with another woman and spend your money on her, then your wife will be very happy. You're saying, I love Krishna, everything Krishna, but then you are spending all your money, all your time, all your affection simply on Maya. And you're saying, no, no, it's only Krishna. You do that with your wife and see how your family life goes. So you're doing this with Krishna and you're thinking this is all. This is simply word jugglery. This may satisfy your mind, but it won't satisfy your heart, neither is it going to fool Krishna. He knows that alright, you're giving lip service, but practically what you're doing to show that you love Krishna. Krishna is not seeing what you are giving. He's seeing what you are keeping for yourself. That is the proof whether actually you mean what you say. It's one thing, you can go up and flatter someone, I love you, you are very nice, you are the Supreme Godhead, you are the master of everything, I am simply your servant. That's alright. You get credit for all that. But then when you go and then you just give everything, you see, somewhere else, then how you get credit for that? So we don't want you to be only partial credit. We want you to get the full credit. Not only accept Krishna verbally, but practically act in that knowledge. This sambandha avideya prayojan. Act, know the relationship. Very nice. You know the, then act in that relationship. To act in that relationship means avideya. I am the Krishna Supreme, I am His servant, then you do service for Krishna. It's not enough just to think, oh, in my heart I know. That's only the first stage. The second stage is to act. And the third stage, prayojana, means to achieve full perfection of life. Any other question? Vishnu at 60. So 64, 60 Vaishnav, you see there's no difference between Vishnu and Krishna. It's simply the different mood. In other words, Krishna is Vishnu. Vishnu is Krishna. It's not that there's no, you see, Krishna, it's like when you put on your suit and tie and go out. So when Krishna puts on his Vishnu form and goes out, and takes the Vishnu mood. He's only showing 60 of his 64 qualities. But it's still Krishna. You understand?
Some people think this Rāvata is the Supreme Personality of God.
Yes?
When he killed Bali, why he killed back on that side?
Of course, in the Ramayana and in the Puranas, they give so many reasons. In the previous time, that there were so many curses and things that happened, why this particular thing happened. But of course, Supreme Personality of Godhead means that He's independent, swarat, swatantra. He can do anything. He's not subjected to following any rules or regulations. And whatever he does, that alone is perfect. He doesn't have to answer to ordinary. But he may follow sometimes rules and regulations, just to give a good example. So somehow or another he promised his devotee that I will help you. So he took the promise of his devotee as greater than his own honor. Naturally, to shoot someone in the back or from the side is not a proper, is not the best honor of a kshatriya. Of course, that normally applies from kshatriya fighting with kshatriya. But when it goes for shooting a monkey, of course then even the kshatriyas are going in the forest and shooting monkeys or deers and other things. So of course, whether or not it would apply even in a strict kshatriya sense is another question. But in any case, because that Sugriv had requested his help and he was about to be finished, so He took the protection of his devotee above other considerations. But in any case, whatever Ramchandra does, it's not subject to be challenged. Because actually, he's perfect. We can't analyze his activity by moral standards, like an ordinary human being. That he is able to act morally is not the proof that he is God. If someone acts very morally, it doesn't mean he's God. Or that he acts in a way which seems to be against the material standard of morality, that doesn't mean he's not God. Rather, God means that he's able to act in any way he pleases and still he remains transcendent. An ordinary person, he has to act according to the moral standard, otherwise he'll fall under the reaction of pap. Hare Krishna, Jai.